on how long you've been following Jesus and studying the scriptures, this might be a familiar text to you.
根据每个人信神的时间，这个经文熟悉的程度可能对我们都有不同。
In fact, one of the things that I really like about this particular narrative or story about Jesus is that it's the only miracle other than his resurrection that appears in all four of the Gospels.
这个唯一我最喜欢的地方就是因为这个神迹出现在每一个福音书里面都有出现，都有提到。
Because of this, that fact alone ought to help us see, at the very least, that it's an important account, that all four gospel writers included it. But also, what it allows us to do is to fill out the story with their extra added perspectives, filling in with more detail.
这告诉我们，其实这个是非常重要的描述，但同时间也告诉我们，要读其他三本书。 通过马太福音、马可福音，还有路加福音，从不同的角度里面，更加的去了解这个故事里面的细节。So
we're going to work from John's account this morning, but I'm going to try to bring in some of the other gospel accounts that will kind of add some extra flavor, a little bit more understanding to it today.
我们会先读约翰福音这段的描述，然后我会尝试加入其他的福音书里面相关的对话，让我们可以有更深的理解。
So our plan this morning is we're going to walk back through the text, and in particular, we're going to pull out four very important ideas which are present in this narrative. The first is this, that we are going to be reminded that Jesus makes room, that the invitation of his grace is for everyone. Then we're going to go on to see that Jesus has a plan, that no matter the circumstances around us, he is at work. And then thirdly, the way that Jesus wants to work is through our faith, which finally we will see that Jesus alone is enough. And that he is the one who satisfies.
我们的计划是一步一步的去读这个经文，然后会找一些重要的信息。第一步，我们是需要知道耶稣是会腾出空间给每一个人，邀请每个人去体会他的恩典。我们会看到耶稣计划，无论我们现在当下的情况是怎么样，他都会在做工。第三点就是耶稣想通过我们的信心。
So before we move into it, though, we need to put a couple of things into their proper context. And so John starts this chapter by simply telling us that this event or this narrative takes place sometime after what has just occurred and further reminds us that Jesus is now back in Galilee. And so the previous chapter, in John chapter 5, we had seen that Jesus was in Jerusalem. And so some amount of time has passed, and Jesus has relocated back to Galilee. Specifically, if you turn to the Gospel of Luke, he's near the city of Bethsaida.
我们继续了解这个经文之前，我们要先了解这个经文的背景资料。约翰一开始就轻描淡写的说，这是以后，并且交代耶稣回到加利利。上一章才说到耶稣在也。 耶路撒冷时间很飞快，这一章已经说到他回到加利利了。所以大家看路加福音的时候，我们在路加福音的时候，也会很仔细的说这个地点叫伯赛达。
So in verse 4, John chapter 6, verse 4, John pauses to note that the Jewish Passover feast was near. He kind of just slips it in there. It seems kind of strange to put it in there and then to move on. So why? Why does John include it? Well, first of all, it's important for us to understand that this is more than just a timing mechanism. That John isn't asking us simply to know what time of year it is, although John does reference Passover a number of times leading up to Jesus' final Passover in which he is crucified. And so all of this is connected because when John mentions Passover, it would instantly bring his readers' minds to Moses. And this makes sense given what Jesus teaches at the end of chapter 5 and as well what he'll teach in the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7.
然后在第四节的时候，约翰突然就停下来提到犹太人的逾越节快来临了，看起来有点奇怪，为什么约翰会把这段资料突然插到那个叙述的中间呢？为什么呢？首先，大家要明白的就是关键，其实在这个经文里面不是在于时间，这不是那么简单要告诉读者是什么年发生什么事情，尽管约翰常常带出逾越节。 来铺垫耶稣在逾越节钉十字架受死的这个事件。其实这些讲述逾越节的情况是可以连接起来的，但因为当约翰讲述逾越节的时候，便会令犹太人想起摩西，然后把专注就放在摩西身上了。这个是非常合理的，因为在第五章结尾的时候，耶稣也是在教导的时候也有提到摩西，并且在第七章的时候也有提到摩西。
So as soon as they hear Passover, the Jews would immediately think of one of the most significant moments in their nation's history, the celebration of the time when God had rescued them from oppression, from slavery in Egypt, and through Moses led and sustained them through the wilderness towards the promised land.
逾越节悄悄地提醒了犹太人他们这个国家重要的一个历史的时刻，因为逾越节是庆祝神把以色列人从埃及人的逼迫和奴隶制度救出的一个时机。通过摩西带领和保守以色列人从旷野走到应许之地。
So John and Matthew also does this in his gospel as well. He wants to draw the reader's attention back to Moses in order to show them that as significant as Passover was, how God was at work in him, here in Jesus, we see God doing an even greater work. That one greater than Moses is now here, and he has come, a God incarnate, to rescue humanity from slavery to sin and to death, and is sustaining them as he leads them towards eternal life.
所以约翰和马太常常在他们的福音书里面提到逾越节来令犹太人回想到摩西，重新明白逾越节的重要性和神如何在摩西的生命上做工，继而展现出神如何在耶稣做更大的工，让他们看到比摩西更大的已经在这里了，他已经来到我们当中了，是神的化身，是要从我们的罪的捆绑还有死亡救赎人类，要带领我们享得永生。
So all that is to say that as we read these individual stories about Jesus and we see how they influence and affect our lives, we can't lose sight of the larger story at work here. That in Jesus, God becomes a man who in his life, in his death, and his resurrection, he accomplishes for us what we could not. He rescues us from sin and he invites us into right relationship with God and the life that is found in him.
长篇大论的说完，我们就是要提醒我们读耶稣每一个小故事的时候，还有当中对我们生命影响的时候，不要忘记背后很大的图画还有信息，就是神的救赎计划，神道成肉身，透过他的生命、死亡、复活，做到我们不能做的事，就是救我们脱离罪的捆绑，并进入与神和好的关系和与神同行的生命。
So as we jump into the story, John starts chapter 6 by telling us that Jesus crosses over the Sea of Galilee and he goes up on a mountain with his disciples, but that the crowds also come and follow him.
约翰在第六章的时候一开始讲到耶稣刚过了加利利湖，但是那个群众就不停地追随他，然后随着他与门徒就走到山上去了。
And this is where it's helpful for the first time that this account occurs in all four Gospels, because cross-referencing them allows us to see a fuller picture of the story, and it begins to fill in some of the gaps that John leaves out.
这一段事迹都被记录在其他的福音书里面，对我们有很大的帮助，因为他们可以互相补充，描写出更完整的故事，帮助我们更加了解约翰没有提及的地方。
So what becomes clear in the other gospel accounts of the story is that Jesus is not just simply walking along the roads like we sometimes find him. Rather, he's actually trying to slip away. He's trying to be alone. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all take time to note this, that Jesus takes his disciples and he withdraws from the crowds. His wish is to be alone with his friends, to be in private.
透过其他福音书，我们更清楚知道耶稣不是像其他时候一样会跟那个群众走在一起，然而他是尝试去撇去 那些群众有独自的时间，马太、马可还有路加福音都花时间去提及了这个事情。耶稣带着他的门徒要撇去那些群众，他想有独自跟他就门徒朋友一起相处的时间，有私人的空间。
But Jesus has been doing very remarkable things. He's been teaching about the kingdom of heaven. He's been healing the sick. He's been casting out demons. He's been making a bit of a name for himself in the surrounding towns. And so the people are curious. They wish to learn more, or at least they want to come and see if he might do something miraculous.
但同时间我们看到耶稣做了好多不平凡的事，教导天国的知识，医治病人，赶走附身的邪灵。他在那个旁边的小镇上面已经非常的出名了，所以令大家非常好奇，大家都想去认识他更多，至少可以去看，至少想去看他展现一些神迹。
So what happens is that Jesus takes his disciples and he tries to get away to get some alone time, but he's recognized by the people. And so word gets out where Jesus is. And so instead of respecting his privacy, the crowds begin to stream out to the mountainside where he is with his disciples. And they begin to invade his space.
现在发生的是耶稣带着他门徒离开，寻找独自的时间，但是他知名度太高了，一传十，十传百，结果大家都知道耶稣在哪里，群众不但不尊重他的私人空间，而且更追随他到山上跟门徒在一起，群众其实已经在侵犯他的个人空间。
So how many of you have ever tried to take a break to be alone and have been interrupted before?
不知道大家有没有试过想休息独处的时候但是被打扰了。
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, so I often try to slip away into the basement of my house to practice my sermon on a Saturday, although Marco wasn't here to help me on Saturday. But I slip into my basement to help practice my sermon. And in spite of the fact that I tell my 4-year-old daughter that dad needs to go downstairs, he needs to do his work, it doesn't matter to her that I want to be alone. She always comes looking for me, and she sometimes comes around the corner. She's looking for a drink. She's looking for a snack. Maybe she just wants to know where I am and to say hello, but she always interrupts me while I'm trying to practice my sermons. And these are good things. These are things that I can provide for her. But in those moments, if I'm honest, I get frustrated. I get frustrated and I tell her that she needs to wait, that she needs to go back upstairs and wait until daddy is done, and then I'll get what she wants. I want her to work around my schedule.
我经常会走到我的地下室里面去练习讲道。可惜我没有去跟他去练习，但是无可避免之下，虽然我已经表明我要独处的时间，但是我4岁的女儿还是会过来找我，她都不是很在乎我要需要独处的时间和忙碌做其他事情的时间，她都会过来打扰我，想找一些喝的或是吃的，但是这一些我都可以提供给他，但是在那个时候老师非常的老实的说，我真的非常的烦躁。我告诉他，你要需要等一下，回到楼上等待爸爸完成他要做的事情以后，他就可以给他想要的东西。我希望他可以跟着我的时间表去做事情。
And so we would maybe understand if Jesus acted the same way, that if the crowds came and interrupted his downtime with his disciples, that we might expect that Jesus would dismiss them, that he would tell them to come back another time when his office hours were open.
我们可能明白耶稣的苦衷，因为他好像我们一样，可能会好像我们这样怎么回应那个群众一样。当群众不断地打扰他与门徒休息的时间，我们都倾向于猜想耶稣会叫那些群众上去，并叫他们在他在做工的时候再回来。
And yet, that's not what we see Jesus do. Instead, and in spite of the fact that the crowds are invading his quiet time, Jesus makes room for them. Both Matthew and Mark note that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And Mark in particular writes this in Mark 9:34. He says, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd.
对，但是事实与此相反。耶稣是没有这样做的，相反他看到群众打扰他的行为，耶稣还给他们时间和空间， 在马太福音和马可福音都看到耶稣看到群众后就动了怜悯之心。在马太福音9:36的时候，他说他看见许多的人就怜悯他们，因为他们困苦流离，如同羊没有牧人一样。
So Jesus isn't focused on himself and how this interruption might negatively affect his plans for the day. He's not frustrated with the people. Instead, he sees them just as they are, like sheep without a shepherd, and he has compassion.
耶稣不专注于他自己身上，也不计较群众对他打扰。他没有因为群众感到非常的烦恼，而是看到他们的需求。就好像没有牧羊人没有牧羊人的羊一样，就非常的怜悯他们。
Luke tells us that Jesus welcomed them, that he took time to teach them and to heal their sick.
路加福音告诉我们，耶稣甚至欢迎他们，愿意花时间教导他们和施行医治。
So be reminded this morning of the fact that Jesus always makes room, that he always has space. You might be here this morning with not a real understanding about who Jesus is and what it means to trust in him, how to commit your life to following him. Or you might be here with an improper view of Jesus, like people in this crowd more interested in what Jesus can do and not in who Jesus is or what he is all about.
在这里我们被提醒到耶稣常常都会迁就我们，他常常都会给我们留出一些空间。可能今天早上你还没有真正了解耶稣是谁，也不明白什么叫信耶稣，把生命交托给他，追随他。今天有可能对耶稣有不太准确的认识，好像追求他的人群一样，只对耶稣所做的有兴趣，而不想知道耶稣是谁和他来的原因。
And so the good news is that Jesus doesn't send you away. He doesn't ask that someone go over to you and ask you to leave. There's no deficiency in you that prevents you from drawing near to him. And if you do draw near, he invites you to join, to draw close, and to hear and to investigate the promise of God's kingdom, which is available in him.
这里的好消息就是耶稣是不拒人门外的，也不叫其他人赶你走。我们没有一样缺陷是能够阻挡我们与主拉近关系的，就算你介意自己的缺陷，他也会邀请你跟他在一起去听见他，去了解神的国度和神的应许。
And so the Christian faith, particularly here in the West, is often accused of being closed off, of putting up walls that keep others out. And that's troubling because that's not the way that Jesus designed it. The Gospels are filled with stories of Jesus going out of his way to make it easy for people to draw near, going out of his way to be accessible even to those on the margins. In fact, that's the whole point of the incarnation, that God became a man in Jesus, that God draws near.
在西方国家，很多时候基督教都被控告为一个比较封闭的宗教，把那些非信徒都赶出去。他听到后非常的扎心，因为这不是耶稣的原意。反而在四福音书里面充满了耶稣怎么样走出那个框架，走进被忽略的边缘的人群，令他们更加容易的接近他。事实上，这就是神道成肉身的原本的意义，将人与神的关系拉近。
So if you are a follower of Christ this morning, at some point in time, you have to remember that once you were on the outside, you were struggling to find faith, you were lost in your sin, you were wandering aimlessly up a mountain with maybe an incomplete picture of Jesus. Maybe you were coming with questions, with doubts, with misconceptions, and Jesus, he didn't turn you away. He didn't put up a no vacancy sign. The question then we need to ask ourselves is this: how are we doing? How am I doing at receiving the investigator? How do I receive the unbeliever, the one who is unsure of what it means to engage with Jesus and are maybe hesitant to commit?
今天早上，如果你是基督的信徒，可能你会有时候会徘徊在外面，挣扎的寻找信仰，在罪里面迷失方向，漫无目的的去带着对耶稣不完全的认识走到山上。可能你是带着问题、疑惑，还有一些误解，但是耶稣都没有拒绝你，他没有关上 他没有挂上那个嫌疑人物金的字牌。我们要问自己的问题是，当我们与一切不知道如何认识耶稣和或许犹豫去信耶稣的人，我们是如何面对的呢？
It could be easy for us to spend all of our time with one another, spending all of our time with other people who love Jesus. It's easy and it's comfortable, and yet that's not Jesus' design. The whole point of the gospel is centered on reaching out to those who still need God's grace and forgiveness. Jesus himself says in Luke 19, chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost."
我们非常容易的很多时候花好多时间跟我们的弟兄姐妹在一起，因为非常的容易，非常舒服的一件事情，但是这恰恰不是耶稣的原意。福音的中心就是要跨越这个界限去接触需要神恩典和救赎。在耶稣在路加福音十九章十节里面真正就讲到这一点，人子来为要寻找拯救世上的人。
And so are we intentionally creating space to welcome those who don't already know Jesus? Are we intentional in how we engage with our unbelieving family, our friends, the people that we work with, the people that we live alongside? When they show an inkling or an interest in Jesus, are we purposeful in providing room for them to ask their questions and to find out who he is?
请问我们自己有没有为一些没有认识主的人有意识的提供空间去欢迎他们呢？我们有没有有意识的去关心非信徒的家人、朋友、同事和邻居呢？在这些人表示有一点点对耶稣有兴趣的时候，我们有没有提供空间给他们问问题和了解耶稣是谁呢？
And so as we move back into the story, we see that Jesus' willingness to receive the crowd opens them up to some discomfort. It's messy. It comes with its own sense of complications. And so the day is disappearing quickly, and they're in a remote place with no food options.
当我们继续看下去的时候，便会看到耶稣在一个很不舒适的情况下愿意去接近群众，非常混乱，非常的复杂。随着日落西山的时候，大家开始就感到肚子饿了，但是在偏远的地方难以找到食物。
Every other gospel makes this tension clear with the disciples urging Jesus to send the crowds away because of the location and because of their inability to provide enough food. John just tells us that Jesus sees the crowd coming and he turns to Philip and he simply asks him, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?"
其余的福音书在这一段的情形都描述得非常有张力。耶稣的门徒都劝耶稣把群众散去，因为那里真的很难找到食物。约翰是这样描述的，耶稣看到群众过来，他就不像腓力去问他，我们在哪里可以买到面包给这些人吃呢？
Remember the setting. They're across the Sea of Galilee. They're on a remote mountain, nowhere near a town, let alone a market which would sell bread for this huge crowd. And Jesus is asking where they could go to buy bread. You have to imagine that Jesus has a little bit of a twinkle in his eye as he asks this question, but Philip, he doesn't see it. He doesn't notice it. All Philip sees is the enormity of the problem at hand and the apparent impossibility of a solution.
大家要记得他们所在的地理位置，他们是过了加利利湖，然后在遥远的山区，不靠近任何的市区，更不用说有市场给他们买面包吃。但是耶稣偏偏就问他们在哪里可以买到面包给群众吃。你可以想象耶稣问这个问题的时候，他的眼睛是亮亮的。耶稣问了这个问题，但是耶稣问了这个问题以后，腓力好像看不到问题背后的原因，腓力只是看到一个很大的难题，而且没有任何解决的方法。
8 months wages, he says, would not buy enough bread for everyone to have a single bite. It's obvious that none of the disciples are carrying that kind of money anyway, and even if they were, it still isn't sufficient to feed this crowd and doesn't even answer the question of where they can buy it.
腓力这样回答，一个普通人八个月的薪金都买不起足够全部人吃的面包。很明显，没有一个门徒会带着那么多钱，就算有，也不足以喂饱所有的群众，更不用说解决买面包的问题。
Jesus is inviting Philip to be a part of what he's doing, and Philip, his response is just to quantify its impossibility. And that's what I want us to see, what Philip sees, that this is a dire situation.
耶稣其实邀请腓力成为他施工的一部分，但是腓力的回应只是提出事情的不可能性，不现实。这里就是要我们看到腓力所看到的绝望的境况。
Look at verse 6, the one that bridges Jesus' question and Philip's frustrated answer. It says this, that he only asked this to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do.
一起来看第六节，第一节把耶稣的问题和腓力的绝望的回应连接起来。耶稣问这个问题是要试探腓力，因为耶稣在心中已经知道他想的是要做什么。
Jesus isn't polling the crowd, trying to get a proper assessment of the issue at hand. He's not panicking. He's not trying to put together a think tank to solve this catastrophe. No, this is an invitation to Philip to be a part of what he's about to do, because Jesus already has a plan.
当时耶稣并没有进行民意调查，也没有通过人民的意见来做一个合理的判断。他也没有很慌张，也没有试图找一个自然团去理解去解决这个难题。其实这只是对腓力的一个考验，去要参加他的那个施工。然后其实因为耶稣心中他已经有自己的计划。
Is there a more comforting verse in scripture than that? For he already had in mind what he was going to do.
在圣经里面好像已经没有让我们更加觉得很安慰的经节，因为他已经有他的计划。
For those of us who are Christians and are maybe already familiar with this story, sometimes I think we fail to see the depth of the distress of the situation, either because we don't think about it fully or because we already know what's about to happen.
对我们已经是基督徒的人，或者对这个经文有了解的人，我们可能有时候不能看到这个事情的严重度。就是看到事情的深度，还有这个事情当时讲有多么大的影响。可能是因为我们不会完全去仔细考虑这个时间，或者是我们已经知道会发生什么事情。
But this is a hopeless situation. We have 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. They're all gathered in a remote place. They have no food. In fact, it's likely that they haven't eaten all day. And to get home and hiking down the mountain, going through the wilderness at the end of the day on empty stomachs, and getting this group of people food is a big deal. And Jesus, he has it covered.
但是这一个特别绝望的情况，5000个男人，然后加上女人和孩子，在一个偏远的地方没有食物。事实上他们一天都没有吃东西。然后如果回到家的话，他们可能会饿了肚子。用一天的时间去穿越这一座山，然后还要穿过那个荒野，喂饱这些人是个很大的难题。但是耶稣就一手包办了。
I often think about this crowd and how in their desire to be entertained by Jesus, and their desire to see Jesus do something special or spectacular, that they've kind of wandered into this wilderness with very little planning, very little care. Maybe some of them were just swept up by the momentum of others. They're just being led by their curiosity. Regardless, they now find themselves miles from home with no food and in a really precarious situation. But Jesus has a plan.
我经常去思考这些群众带什么心态去看耶稣的呢？是去看好戏的心态吗？还是期待耶稣的神迹，才让他们没有任何准备的情况下走到这个荒野里面？
This is a picture of the gospel. Because of our sin, each one of us finds ourselves in a precarious situation. We're lost, we're alone in the wilderness, we're on the brink of death, unable to help ourselves.But Jesus already has in mind what he's going to do. Jesus has a plan.
可能有一些群众的推动，可能只是被人群的推动力去带进去了，或者是出于好奇心。但是无论怎么样，他们现在怎么当时发现自己离家很远，没有食物，是处于一个非常危险的情况。但是耶稣他心里面已经有个计划了。
So if you're here this morning and you feel a little bit like your life is in the wilderness, if you feel lost, if you feel alone and helpless, I want you to know that you're in the right place. That whatever your baggage, whatever makes you feel far from God, seeking Jesus in the midst of that wilderness is a great first step because he already has in mind what he's going to do. Know that Jesus has a plan for you.
如果你现在觉得你的生活就好像在旷野中一样，你觉得很迷失，然后很孤单，很无助，那么你要知道你现在就在一个对的地方了。无论你的负担是怎么样，无论你的负担是怎么让你远离神，在旷野中寻找耶稣的你，就是走出最好的第一步，因为他已经知道你要，他已经知道要做什么，他已经有一个计划。
And Jesus' plan, we're going to see, doesn't require much. It requires just a little bit of faith. Philip doesn't have an answer for Jesus when he asks his question, but Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, does. He appears on the scene with a small boy and his lunch, 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish.
然而耶稣的计划，我们将会看到不需要任何东西，只需要一点点的信心。腓力给不到耶稣答案，当耶稣问他这个问题的时候，当耶稣问他这个问题的时候，腓力给不了耶稣答案，但是安德烈、彼得的兄弟就能给出这个答案，在画面上展现出他是与一个小男孩带自己的午餐的一个小男孩拿着五饼二鱼出现。
So if Philip thought Jesus asking where they could buy bread in the middle of nowhere for 5,000 plus people was ludicrous, how much more ludicrous is Andrew for showing up with the lunch of a small boy thinking that somehow this was a solution?
如果腓力觉得耶稣要他在旷野里面找食物是滑稽可笑的，那安德烈与一个手拿着便当的小男孩出现，好像这个解决的方法是不是更可笑了？
So when Andrew comes forward to this small boy's lunch with 5 loaves and 2 fish, it's not so much that he comes with a solution as he comes with an expression of faith. How ridiculous he must have felt bringing this as an option to Jesus. But he still does it. This is what I found. This is what I have for you, Jesus. And he leaves it up to him to use it.
安德烈与这个拿着五饼二鱼的小男孩走出来的时候，不能说是找到了解决的方案。而是他对耶稣信心的表达，但他当时应该觉得自己非常的搞笑，因为居然拿到一个小孩去见耶稣，但他还是做了这个事情，这是他就是对耶稣看见耶稣的时候，就对他说：“这是我所找到的，就是我能给你的耶稣。”
I wonder how many of us, myself included, would have seen this boy's lunch and just kept moving, knowing it didn't even make a dent.In the crowd's hunger. But Andrew, he doesn't keep moving. He brings it to Jesus. And it's exactly what Jesus is looking for. Not a little bit of bread, not a little bit of fish, but a little bit of faith.
我在想在做包括我自己看到这个男孩的看如果在那个情境里面看到这个男孩都会一视而过觉得这个便当可能够那些人晒牙缝都不够但是安德烈没有错过这个男孩，他把男孩带到耶稣那里，而且这正合耶稣的意。这里不是一点点的饼和鱼，是一点点的信心。
See, Jesus is able to rescue these people from their predicament, but what he's looking for to do it is just a little bit of faith. Faith is the catalyst for Jesus to do amazing things. In fact, he says to his disciples in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The saving power of God is waiting for just a little bit of faith.To open the door and for God to burst through.
耶稣绝对有能力把这些人从困难中里面救赎出来，但是他只是要看到人对他一点点的信心。信心就是耶稣做工的一种催化剂。其实他在马太福音17:20里面说过：“我实在告诉你们，你们若有信心，像一粒芥菜种。”就是对这座山说，你从这边挪到那边，它也必挪去，并且你们没有一件不能做的事了。神的大能就是等待着我们渺小的心经去打开而涌流。
In our text, we see Jesus, he tells the people to sit down on the grass, and he gives thanks for the bread and the fish, and he begins to distribute it. The faith of Andrew has opened the door for Jesus to do a miraculous thing, and he begins to multiply the bread and the fish to feed the multitude. There seems to be a never-ending supply of them. He's breaking pieces off, but the bread always seems to be more and more.
在我们经文里面，我们看到耶稣告诉群众坐在那个草地上，把饼和鱼注谢了以后，他就分发出去了。安德烈的信心打开了耶稣做神迹的大门。耶稣把面包和鱼变得更多，够喂饱所有的人。虽然看来有一点供不应求，但是耶稣掰饼的时候是越掰越多的。
The plan Jesus had was to take Andrew's faith that a small boy's lunch could help and then display his own power by using such a small amount of food to feed a crowd that by Philip's estimation would take 8 months to accomplish.
耶稣的计划就是要透过安德烈那么小的信心来展现他的大能，以小量的食物去喂饱群众。据腓力说要八个月工资才能喂饱了群众。
For each one of us today, the saving power of God is found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's simply waiting for faith, mustard seed-sized faith, to activate it.
回到今天我们每一个人，神的救赎，从死复活的力量，就是等待我们那么小的，很小的信心，像芥花籽一样大的信心去激发。
Romans 3:22-24 says this, that this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
罗马书3:22-24说，就是神的义，因信耶稣基督嫁给一切相信他的人，并没有分别，因为世人都犯了罪，亏缺了神的荣耀。却蒙神的恩典，因基督耶稣的救赎，就白白的称义。
So lost as we might be when we come to Jesus, He has a plan in mind how to rescue us. And what He's looking for is just a little faith in Him. He invites us to trust Him, and when we do, He takes that little bit of faith. He does an incredible work of salvation far beyond what we could imagine. And it's in this that we discover that Jesus satisfies.
尽管我们来到耶稣面前有多迷失，耶稣已经有救赎的计划在心里面，只需要我们对他一丝丝的信心。他邀请我们去相信他，是要当我们相信他的时候，他能把这个信心化成不可思议的救赎的工作，超越我们所想象的。从这里我们要看到耶稣感到非常的满足。
And so as we go back into our text, we see that Jesus has seated everybody. In Mark's gospel, we're told that they're seated into orderly groups of 50s and 100s, and he gives thanks, and he begins to distribute the food.
当我们回到经文的时候，我们看到耶稣整整有齐地把群众坐下了。在马太福音说，他们是以50和100的单位来分坐的。他注谢了以后，然后就把食物分出去了。
Look what John makes a point to tell us at the end of verse 11. He distributes the food to all who were seated as much as they wanted. Verse 12 repeats this idea as if John is driving this point home. He doesn't want us to miss it. He says this, when they all had enough to eat.
来看看约翰福音的11节里面要告诉我们什么。坐下来的群众是要多少，然后耶稣就给多少的。在十二节的时候又重复了这个意思，好像约翰是要把这个信息塞到我们的脑子里面，不想我们错过这一点。
See, Jesus doesn't miraculously turn the bread and the fish into just enough food to give them a small burst of energy to get home. He doesn't provide enough food to keep them from fainting before they get to the nearest town and can do the rest on their own. No, he feeds them and every one of them until they'd had all that they wanted, until they were full.Until they were satisfied.
耶稣的神迹不只是要他们能够充饥，能够有能量回家，也不是只是够他们到了下个城市，然后让他们自己顾自己。他不是这样，他是喂饱了每一个人，直到他们吃到他们想要的分量，吃到撑的，吃到非常的满足。
All of them, every single one. John makes that point clear. After the people had had their fill, Jesus instructs his disciples to gather up the leftovers. He says, nothing is to be wasted. Verse 13 tells us that they gather up and fill 12 baskets with the leftovers.
是全部的人， 约翰在这里说得很清楚，当人群都吃饱了以后，耶稣吩咐门徒把剩下的收起来，免得浪费。十三节告诉我们，剩下的能装满十二个篮子。
So this is where it gets interesting, and we're going to throw a third language into the mix now. The Greek word for basket here is the word kophinos.
这里非常有趣的地方就是原文希腊文说的篮子的时候是用 kophinos.
See, a kophinos basket is a basket that's about the size of a lunch pail. It's very different than a spirus basket, which is the kind of basket that Jesus uses when he feeds the multitude of 4,000 in the Synoptic Gospels. But a spirus basket is large, but as I said, this kophinos one is a lunch-sized basket.
Kophinos, 其实它的大小就好像我们平常带中饭的那种包那么大而已，跟 spirus 是不一样，只是耶稣spirus 是上一次耶稣在喂饱群众的时候用的篮子，在马太福音、马可福音、路加福音几章里面都有记载。
So we can often read this narrative and assume that it's a demonstration of the abundant power of Jesus. But really, it's a story that tells us about the sufficient power of Jesus. You see, the disciples gather up 12 of these baskets of food, and none of it is wasted because what they are left with is just enough food for them to have a meal as well. And when they are finished, there is nothing wasted because there is nothing left over, and every single one of them has eaten until they're satisfied.
我们可以经常读到这个描述的时候，可能会觉得好像要约翰要告诉我们，耶稣要赐予丰盛的、很丰盛的一个大能。但是事实上，要带出耶稣是赐予足够的大能。你看门徒收集了十二个篮子的食物，没有一个是被浪费掉的。他们因为他们留下来的食物，刚刚足以让他们每个人再吃一顿，结束以后没有任何的浪费，因为没有任何剩余的东西，每个人都吃了，每个人都非常满足。
This is important because it's a one thing for Jesus to be welcoming, particularly to the outside or the seeker. It's one thing for Jesus to have a plan and for him to desire to act that plan through our faith. But that's all great, but it doesn't mean anything if it falls short, if it's not enough. And so that's why John and the other gospel writers include this miracle in their gospels, because they want us to know, without a shadow of the doubt, the sufficiency of the power of Jesus.
这是非常的重要，因为耶稣因此被欢迎，尤其是外人还有寻找者。这是帮助耶稣实行他的计划，而且是透过人对他一次的信心，所以这一切都很棒。但是如果出现任何短缺和不够，这事情就失去了意义。这就是约翰在他们的福音书里面包括这个神迹的原因，因为他们希望读者没有任何的疑问的情况下知道耶稣有充足提供我们的能力。
Jesus is enough. Jesus alone satisfies. And so as we prepare to close this morning, I want to invite you to consider your place in this story. Maybe you're here and you're already a follower of Jesus. I want you to hear the challenge of Jesus to make room for those who are not like you, for those who are still investigating, and yes, even making room for those who might be gathering near for the wrong reasons. Make room, have space in the same way that Jesus has made space for you.
有耶稣就够了，耶稣自己就能满足我们。快结束之前，我想邀请大家去带入这个故事里面。如果你们已经是耶稣的信徒，我希望你能听到的是一个挑战，要像耶稣一样为那些不喜欢你的人腾出空间。对于那些仍然在寻找的人，是的，甚至可能是一些因错误原因聚集在一起的人，腾出空间，就像耶稣为你腾出空间一样。
Believe and help others to believe that Jesus has a plan for them. And as Jesus invites you to partner with him in his plan, in his mission, instead of being like Philip, trying to calculate and identify the impossibility that surrounds you, be like Andrew, willing to come with small, ludicrous faith. Be faithful and obedient and trust Jesus with the little that you have and know that he is the one who can do immeasurable things through it, that he has the power to get it done.
相信并帮助别人 相信耶稣，对他们是有计划的。耶稣邀请你在他的计划里面跟他一起合作，在他使命中，不是像腓力那样试图计算或是去看到一些不可能性。我们要好像安德烈一样，愿意带着一点点很小的信心，要忠心的顺从，并用你所拥有的小小的信心去相信耶稣，并且知道他是能通过你很小的信心做出无可测量的事，他有权柄去使他的事工完成。
Again, maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're more one of the crowd. You're unsure about Jesus, curious and with questions, but maybe you don't feel like you identify as a follower or as one in deep relationship with him. Know that he doesn't turn you away. He wants to invite you to discover the good news of the kingdom that's found in him and him alone.
再来一遍，也许你今天早上到这里来，你会觉得你是这一群人的一份子。你不确定耶稣是谁，好奇有问题，但不觉得，也不觉得你是一个跟门徒还有跟耶稣有密切关系的人。请你知道的是，他不会拒绝你，他想邀请你去发现，在他还有他身上发现的天国的好消息。
And in the brokenness and in the uncertainty of your life, in the places where you might feel lost, know that Jesus has a plan. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to solve it on your own. In fact, you can't. All Jesus is looking for is a little bit of faith. If you would trust him this morning, if you would trust in the reality of his death and his resurrection, not only would he save you from your predicament, but in him you would find fulfillment and satisfaction.
在你生活的破碎和那个变幻莫测的人生中，你可能感到有一些迷茫的地方，但请记得耶稣有他的计划，你不必弄明白或者自己尝试去理解他，事实上你根本没有可能做得到。耶稣所寻找的只是遗失的信心。如果你今天早上相信他，如果你相信他的死后复活的事迹，他不仅会把你救出你的困境，而且他会在里面，他会在你里面令你感到成就和满足。
So no matter where you are at your journey of faith this morning, my prayer for each of us, my prayer for myself, is that we would remember that Christ makes room for us, that he is working in our difficulty, that if we would just bring a little bit of faith to him, he is faithful to do a work and bring us deeper into his life. Jesus has done enough. Jesus is enough.His grace is sufficient for you. It is sufficient for all of us.
所以无论你今天在你信仰的哪一个阶段，我都为我们每一个人祷告，祷告我们去记得基督耶稣为我们腾出的空间，他为我们在困难中做工。就算我们只是带了一点点对他的信心，他会心实的在我们里面做工，使我们更深入的进入他的里面。耶稣做的工是足够的，耶稣他自己是足够的，他的恩典够你用，够我们每一个人用。
Let's pray.
一起祷告。
Our God and Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your grace.
在天上的父，我们感谢你对我们的恩典。
We thank you for this chance to gather and to hear your word.
感谢你给我们一起聚集在一起去听到你的话语。
Through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you be at work in our hearts and our minds?
请你透过圣灵的工作去在我们的心里面做工。
Draw us close to Jesus in order that we might be like him.
让我们更加的跟耶稣靠近，让我们更像他。
And that you would receive all of the glory.
而且你会得到所有的荣耀。
We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
我们讲到耶稣的名， amen.
非常感谢牧师分享的信息。我们也可以从这个故事看到，当我们遇到困难或者迷茫的时候， 有时候上帝并不是要我们自认为聪明的头脑，或者说自认为完美的计划，我们只需要让他看到我们的信心，他自会成就完美的计划。让我们一起来唱《耶稣爱你》。
这是世界有个千年不变道理，那就是耶稣爱你。在世上没有任何的逼迫患难能使我们与神的爱隔绝。你是否愿意同为神的儿女，一生让耶稣爱你？在世上没有任何的困苦愁烦能使我们与神的爱隔绝。这世界有个千年不变道理，那就是耶稣爱你。在世上没有任何的逼迫患难能使我们与神的爱隔绝。你是否愿意同为神的儿女，一生让耶稣爱你？在世上没有任何的困苦愁烦能使我们与神的爱隔绝。在世上没有任何的困苦愁烦能使我们与神的爱隔绝。
请大家保持站立。
下面我们为今天的奉献祷告。神在历代至上第十四节告诉我们说，我算什么，我的名算什么，竟能如此乐意奉献，